May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our God, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Please be seated. I have to admit, just the first line in the collect, just at least for me, makes me think, and I think it would be good for all of us. Almighty and everlasting God, you are always more ready to hear than we are to pray. And I think, like, for all of us, as we went through each lesson that was read this morning or chanted, we learned that it's all about what we do. You know, are we really there for God? Is our stewardship of life based on our love of the Lord? And it shows attitude. You know, God is always ready. We're not. Sometimes God isn't convenient for the day, for the moment, for whatever situation. You know, and it's in that way that stewardship becomes an every day, every minute, every second of the day choice. Is God more important, or is what I want to do more important? And that's what the call, for me at least, that's what it makes me think about. And I have to admit also, I love Isaiah. I'm going to focus mostly on the gospel, but I love Isaiah, because what more was there to do for my vineyard than what I have done? And for me, it's true. Let me sing for my beloved, my love song concerning his vineyard. And it goes through everything, the meticulous love and care that God gives each and every one of us. And then, at the very end of this particular lesson, God tells us what our stewardship should be, because for these people, he wasn't pleased. And so we don't want to be like that. He says, God expected justice. That means each and every one of us are to be just in everything we do and mindful of justice. But what did God see? He saw bloodshed, not justice. And he expected from his people righteousness. And he heard cries from other people that were not being taken care of. So as we focus on the gospel, just to define a few things quickly, Israel is the vineyard, God is the landowner, the slaves were the prophets and the judges and all those who shared God's word. And then, of course, we know that the Son is Jesus Christ. He is the final messenger. He is the perfect messenger. There's nothing more that God can do, including, and we know this, that Jesus gave up his life willingly for each and every one of us. And then the wicked tenants, well, they're the rulers. They're the priests in that time, those who were to be the rulers, the kings of Israel. They were not faithful to God or their own people, God's people. And there's nothing wrong with being privileged in life, but they misused their privilege. They weren't aware. They didn't care about the needs of others. And that's where we start with Matthew. So Jesus tells a parable. Why does he do that? Because it's an indirect way of, like, saying, okay, let's think about this. Where are you in this story? Which side are you? Which person are you? And so he tells them. He says, there was a landowner who planted a vineyard. Put a fence around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower, and then leased it out. Well, then when the harvest time came, he sent his slaves, his workers, to collect some of the produce, which was done in those days. But what happened next? And this is where it starts. The tenants seized the slaves. They beat them, they killed them, they stoned them. And again, he sent more slaves, and the same treatment followed. And then finally, the landowner says, well, I'll send my son to them. because they will respect him, they'll listen, and they'll care. Not. So Jesus goes on and he says, but when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, well, wow, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and then we'll get the inheritance. That is so greedy. That is so self-centered. That just lacks total awareness of what God wants from them. It's absolutely blaring and unbelievable. So, of course, we don't want to be like that. So they seized him and killed him. And then here comes the big whoops. Now when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? Because Jesus had explained what the wicked tenants did. And they said to him, well, he will put those wretches to a miserable death and lease the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at harvest time. First off, that shows the difference between God's response and human response. Human response is always negative and vicious and angry and murdering and killing and vindictive. God is very forgiving and patient and accepting and always more ready to hear and have his arms open than what we realize. But what they didn't realize just yet was that, and they figured it out, they were the wicked slaves. They were the wicked tenants who were doing the killing and all the wretched things. So next we have a reality check. Because after Jesus explains this, he says to them, okay, now that you understand that this is not good behavior, this is wrong behavior, I'm going to explain this very clear, and this is when they get the picture. Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that produces the fruit of God. Well, they got upset. Why? First off, because they knew he was right. Second, they were embarrassed. And third, they were arrogant because they felt, being the chief priests and the kings, they felt that they were better than everyone else. They were more educated. They were the sons of Abraham. And they felt that was enough. Well, it's not. If we love God, our attitude has to just vanish and we take on the attitude of Christ. That's the difference. So this was their reality check. So for us, are we keeping God's vineyard, our own lives, our own families, our own church, our own schools, all that we run into, even when we go to the store and are on vacation, are we keeping God's vineyard as an honor to God? Do we love God's world and God's creation? We are the new Israel. The kingdom of God has been given to us. Do we take care of it? So what does God ask from us? The same thing. It's a stewardship of life. We are to do. We are to have action. We are to be aware. If we think to ourselves, we don't actually have to look around, but if we think to ourselves, all the people in this congregation, do we know how they're doing? Do we care about it? Do we love them? Do we honor them? Because we love and honor God. True love of God does worship alone sometimes, but also corporately, together. True love of God bears fruit. When we leave here, we do loving things in God's name. True love of God is when we're generous. Not just in money, but in everything, who we are, all that we have. True love of God is when we are aware of the needs of others, when we are encouraging others, and when we have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. True love of God is faithfulness to Him, our Creator, and all His creation. And just to leave with one last thought from St. Paul. He said, I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the sharing of His sufferings and becoming like Him in His death. How was Jesus when He died? Loving, attentive, caring, and forgiving. And that's when He was being tortured. St. Paul wants to be like Christ. Our stewardship of life, our goal, is to want to be like Christ in His death. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this opportunity to worship You, to be with You, to have the music, the choir, all the people who read, the people who usher, the people who clean up the church, those who prepare the coffee hour, the flowers. There's so much that goes in to worshiping You. And all that we do because we love You and want to worship You in truth and in faithfulness, to honor You. And when we leave here, help us in our lives to do the same preparation for You each and every moment of the day. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.